Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
According to S&P Global Market Intelligence, corporate bankruptcies are registering at the fastest pace in the first half of this year in data going back to 2010. In the first 6 months of 2023, there were 340 corporate bankruptcies. That figure is up 97% from the year ago period. Okay, so just keep that in mind when people tell you how wonderful the economy is and how great the stock market is doing. Corporate bankruptcies are up 97% year over year through the first 6 months. Commercial real estate is in big trouble as well. Retail malls are closing across the nation, and the office REIT sector is on life support. There are $1.4 trillion worth of commercial real estate loans coming due in the second half of this year. Regional banks, the regional banking sector, own 75% of these loans, and regional banks are the primary support mechanism for small business lending, which are, these small businesses are in turn the life support system for not only the economy, but the labor market as well. The truth is that there is an incipient default cycle already underway. Defaults and delinquencies are rising in credit cards, auto loans, and in corporations. Not yet in the FOMO stock market, but it's coming. And student loans are going to need to be repaid, at least to some degree, starting in October after a three-year hiatus. The earnings per share of the S&P 500 has been down, not slowing, down, negative. In the last two quarters, earnings growth is negative. And by the time all of the Q2 earnings reports are issued, consensus estimates are that we will have three down quarters in a row. Q2 earnings per share is projected to be down between 7 and 8% year over year. Now, paying 26 times trailing earnings per share and 20 times fictitious forward earnings when earnings per share growth is negative is a joke, and a dangerous joke at that. I mean, the market is pricing in a perfect landing and then a robust takeoff for economic growth. That's what's priced in now. It no longer is pricing in a soft landing. Forget about the likelihood of a crash landing. That's nowhere in the radar here. It is also pricing in, by consequence, corporate margins staying at all-time record highs, a very strong earnings per share rebound, inflation coming down to 2% and then just staying there, no deflationary recession, or on the other hand, no stagflationary increase in CPI. The odds of that happening are very close to zero. You often hear me talking about the inverted yield curve. It is a highly unusual condition where short-term debt offers a higher yield than those that are longer duration. It's another way of the bond market saying in very clear terms that inflation and economic growth is going to be slower in the future than it is right now. So growth and inflation are higher today than they will be in the future. And this inverted yield curve is a highly accurate metric, and that's why it's in my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. I usually measure the spread between the 2 and 10-year note yield. It is inverted by about 100 basis points as I make this recording, which screams recession, not only a recession, but a deep one. The spread between the 2-year note and the 10-year note yield has historically been inverted between 6 and 24 months before each recession has begun since 1955. And that's according to a 2018 report by researchers at the San Francisco Fed. During that time frame, there was only one false signal where an inversion did not produce a recession, and that was a very narrow or slight inversion. The spread between the 2 and 10-year Treasury yields have been inverted since July 6th of 2022, and its inversion is the second steepest in history. There are other Treasury spreads to monitor other than the 2-10 curve. The 3-month 10-year spread is one of them. It is now inverted by a whopping 160 basis points. There are only three times in history when the yield curve between the 3-month and 10-year note yield has been this inverted: 1929, 1973, and 1980. All three occasions, produced a sharp recession or a depression. Three for three. And I say produced a recession, not just was an indicative of a recession, because an inverted yield curve actually helps engender a recession. This is because bank lending is impaired when the cost of deposits is rising in relation to the income earned on its assets. And since banks stop fueling asset bubbles when they contract new loan creation, new credit growth, those asset prices become impaired. And that's the assets that sit on the bank's balance sheets. And an impaired balance sheet means that lending is curtailed even further and thus creates a contractionary death spiral. But back to that 3-month, 10-year spread. What did past such inversions of 160 basis points mean for the stock market? Well, in 1929, it led to the Great Depression and four consecutive years of a crash landing, not a soft landing, not a robust landing, a perfect landing and a robust rebound in earnings. In 1929, the S&P 500 lost 11.9%. In 1930, it lost 28.4%. In 1931, it lost 47%. And in 1932, the S&P 500 finished the string of bear market declines with a decline of 15.1%. That's the first time the 3-10-year note yield spread, 3-month 10-year note spread was 160 basis points inverted. The next such inversion occurred in 1973, which kicked off the stagflationary debacle of the 70s. That caused the S&P 500 to shed 17.3% in that year, and in 1974, the stagflationary crash led to a minus 29.7%. The only other occasion where the 3-month and 10-year curve inversion was around 160 basis points or more was in 1980. In that year, the stock market actually gained 25.7%, but 1981 witnessed a stock market decline of 9.1%. So there is a huge asterisk for the 1980 positive return. The early 80s was one of the worst economies in history. It was marred by stagflation, falling economic growth, and soaring inflation that reached 15% year over year. It is just an indisputable fact that skyrocketing inflation rates helped to bring about a positive nominal return in stocks. However, and this is the key, the unemployment rate in the U.S. hit 10.8% in the early 1980s. Oh, and by the way, the P.E. ratio for the S&P 500 in 1980 during that year of a positive return was only 7.3. Compare that to the trailing 12-month P.E. ratio of 26 today and CPI that is 3%, not 15%. And you can correctly surmise that if we have a recession and the unemployment rate shoots up to 10% from 3.6% today, we would see a stock market meltdown that resembled more of what happened during the Great Depression and in 1974, rather than what occurred in 1980. So, given those facts, why are we not short this market right here? Because while the curve spread is part of the IDEC model, so are credit spreads. And they are giving the opposite signal. The spread between the riskiest of corporate debt and safest of treasuries is contracting instead of blowing out. The inverted yield curve tells us that a recession is coming by the next two quarters. But credit spreads tell us what is happening now. And currently, the debt markets are functioning just fine. Looking at the past 6 months of narrow stock market gains and extrapolating some strong signal about the overall U.S. economy is completely ridiculous. The year prior to the dot-com crash of 2000, stocks were up by 20%. The major averages showed very strong gains heading into the global financial crisis and the 1987 wipeouts as well. The market's valuation level is one that is extremely dangerous and becoming more so. The market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP is near an all-time record high and greater than any other time in history prior to 2020. The price-to-sales ratio is also close to an all-time record high, and again, much higher than any other time in history prior to 2020. And the PE-to-growth ratio is approaching a record high level as well, meaning the market is extremely expensive, especially when you consider the underlying strength in the economy, or weakness in this case, and the declining earnings per share. This is a bear market bounce masquerading as a bull market. Not everyone is convinced of this rally. Do you know who's not convinced about this rally? Insiders, insider trading, people who own their company, officers and directors. Insiders at NVIDIA, for example, the leading company in AI computing, they sold a net 3 million shares over the past 3 months into the announcement of all this ChatGPT stuff. Insiders bought 1.1 million shares, but sold 4 million shares in the past 3 months. Not the past few years, just these last three FOMO, fear of missing out months. The AI bubble will pop, and we will be able to pick up shares in the sector, as well as others, but at a much fairer and better price. In the meantime, we will continue to remain cautiously long while we patiently wait for the opportunity to short this epic bubble. I mean, after all, I don't look at what's year to date. I'm looking at the cycle here. The cycle peaked at the end of 21 and the beginning of 22. And the stock market is still down. The S&P is still down 6% from that level where we got out and went short. So let's look at the cycle. Let's not look at what's happening year to date or some cherry-picked duration. I know right now it seems like the stock market will never pop. But the data in aggregate that is extant today scream that the crash is coming, and it will be nothing short of spectacular. Or I guess more accurately, the resumption of this crash, which is in reality phase two of the grand reconciliation of asset prices that began in 2022.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.